Heavenly Father, we worship you. Indeed, it's a great privilege to come into your presence, Lord. And so as we go to your word this evening, Lord, we recognize our limitations to minister and to receive the word. And so, Father, we bow under the covering of our fathers before your holy throne. And we ask for fresh mercy. I ask for mercy. Fresh mercy and unction from your throne upon my heart and upon my lips to enable me to speak and to preach this word with, Lord, the ability and the anointing that comes from you through our fathers in the name of Jesus. Let this word flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it come in power. Let it come in simplicity. Let it come in the love and the comfort of the Holy Spirit to build us up, so that more of you and less of us, Lord, will be our portion in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your word goes forth, I pray that under the covering of my fathers, yokes will be broken, blind eyes will be opened. Lord God, Lord, every smallness in our understanding, Lord, will be removed, oh God. And Lord, your largeness, your greatness, your limitlessness will replace, Lord God, our vision and our mind in the name of Jesus. So that, Father, there will be increase in our hearts, helping us to see ourselves the way you really want us to, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for mercy to be faithful. Help me to be concise, to be precise. Lord, let there be an internal, eternal work done in our hearts, that our wills will be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with the revelation and insight that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that, Lord, we will walk deeper, Lord, and more consistently in the love of God in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, all the glory will come unto you. Thank you, Father, for helping me to bring forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The word the Lord put in my heart this evening is the path to true greatness. But we're going to remember. The path to true greatness. It's something that came from a word that God had shared with us earlier. The dictionary, when you talk about greatness, you know, the dictionary defines greatness as the quality of being great. So even the dictionary cannot really define it. Just that it's the quality of being great. You know, eminence, distinction, prominence, illustriousness, having a great reputation. So greatness is the quality that even the dictionary, even man himself, finds difficult to define. You know, but God wants us to live by His own concept of greatness. God has His own concept of greatness. And He alone, really, can define greatness, because He alone is great. God, the Bible says, God, look at Psalm 145, in verse 3. Give it to me in the Amplified Bible. He alone is truly great. So, you know, it's from what you have that you can give. You know, if you don't have greatness, you really can't define greatness. The Bible says, the spiritual man, no, searches all things and is discerned of no man. Oh, I beg your pardon? Yes, you know, he discerns all things. Someone who is more spiritual can discern all things, but someone who is less spiritual cannot discern the spiritual person. So that's why God is the one that is good. Let's read it, Psalm 145, verse 3. Let's read it together. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and His greatness is so vast and deep as to be unsearchable. It means there is no end. Depth, breadth, length, and height. You can't reach the end of God's greatness. So God's greatness is continually increasing. It doesn't remain static. This is why God is the one that alone is truly great, as you will see as you go on. Give it to me in the Message Bible. The Message Bible. You need to be quick. Let's read together. God is magnificent. He can never be praised enough. There are no boundaries to His greatness. Next verse. Generation after generation stands in awe of your work. Each one tells stories of your mighty acts. Next verse. Your beauty and splendor have everyone talking. I compose songs on your wonders. Next verse. Your marvelous doings are headline news. Hallelujah. Give God a clap of it. It's marvelous that headline news. Amen. I could write a book full of the details of your greatness. It's why you understand the Bible says that if all the things that Jesus did were to be written, the whole earth could not contain the books. Greatness. That's true greatness. That's true greatness. First Chronicles 16:25. Greatness, you know, you need to, God is trying to paint a picture of greatness. Amen. Yes. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. The other psalm says it. No. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city, it's greatly. He says he also is to be feared above all gods. So what is true greatness? True greatness is unending in his quality. That's the first. It's unending in his quality. Okay? It is Christ-likeness. It is being God-like. True greatness is having the character of God. Really. It's unending in his quality. Its impact cuts across generations. And it inspires honor and reverence. He says it's greatly to be feared. When you see somebody who is great, naturally it inspires reverence. When Jesus appears to people, they fall flat on their face. And he's the one that raises them up. Greatness. It's greatness in power. Greatness in character. Greatness in wisdom. But the root of it all is the character. It's what I want us to see. You know? So, really, brethren, man exists in relation to God. We can't define ourselves outside of God. The Bible says, in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. So, we didn't exist by ourselves. So, at every point in time, we must always relate ourselves to God and who God says we are. Pastor preached it beautifully on Sunday. He said, God is love. So, we also are love. If we are children of God. Amen. So we define ourselves in the light. It is in his light that we see light. It is in his light of his definition that we see. So God wants to pull down this idea of greatness by worldly terms alone. Now, it's not wrong because there are people that are great. Mozart was great. But it's only on a worldly level. There are people that are great only on a worldly level. No, because the definition of greatness is that it is unending in its quality. It keeps doing new things every day. So if your works are dead and is not living, then you are not great in God's economy. Even though you may have a great name among men. So there's greatness in God's kingdom and there's greatness among men. With God, you have both. Now, prominence. What the dictionary defines is not greatness. So pulling yourself from a background of poverty to a place where you're stupendously wealthy, so-called self-made millionaires or billionaires. Now it's prominence, but it's not greatness. Having power over the lives of others at your word, whom you would, you slew. Whom you would, you kept alive. Dictators. The fact that they have power of life and death doesn't make them great. But they do have the power of life and death. They do. But it doesn't make them great. So having power and rule over others doesn't make you great. Having influence. You can influence people through your art. Influence people through your music. Mozart, Chopin, you know. It doesn't make you great in God's economy. You have prominence among men. Attaining the peak in your chosen career so that you now become the benchmark by which we measure others. It doesn't make you great. You have prominence. You don't have greatness. Look at Matthew chapter 5 verse 19. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read it together. Whosoever, therefore, you must understand, that's why it's there. Therefore, shall break the least of these, one of the least of these commandments, and shall teach men so. He shall be called the what? Where? In the kingdom of heaven. So if you are breaking God's commandment, forget it, you're not great. Next part of that stanza. But whosoever, let's say it together, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And his kingdom ruleth over all. His kingdom shall know no end. Amen. Alright? So you see why Nebuchadnezzar was prominent, but he wasn't great. Because the same Nebuchadnezzar at the height of his throne became an animal eating grass for 7 years. That's how God does. He's able to abase. So you must understand. So when greatest among men, God wants us to seek greatness in the kingdom. Because with greatness in the kingdom, you have greatness in the kingdom and you have greatness among men. The best of both worlds. Godliness being profitable on the life that now is and the one that is to come. Okay? So by definition, true greatness is possessing the measure of the stature of Christ's character that gives access to the fullness of God and guarantees us a glorious first order resurrection. The definition of greatness must span this life and the life that is to come. It must. So it is possessing the measure of the stature of Christ's character that will give you access, give us access to the fullness of God as we have been taught. Amen. Okay. And then that guarantees a glorious first order resurrection, depending on your diligence. One glory of the star, one glory of the moon, one glory of the sun, but at least you make it to first order. That's your portion in Jesus' name. Right? The Bible says in Luke 21, it says, in your patience, possess ye your soul. That's where greatness begins. The driving out of the sin nature from the soul and the body. So that the life of God and the nature of God take full occupation. You occupy that soul and that body with the nature of God and demonstrate that love of God. No, right from inside out. That's how it is. Okay? And is that, look at Ephesians 3:19. Thank you for that. Ephesians 3:19. Quickly, let's move. Give it to me. Take it back. Verse 18. 17. So we can have an understanding. Right. Good. Now we're talking about greatness. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, divine love. Okay? Alright? Now remember that love in 1 Corinthians 14. If you give your body to be burned and have not love, it doesn't profit you. So you must understand the love he's talking about is the divine love. Okay? Alright? Let's continue. Verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Next verse. And to know the love of Christ by experiential knowledge. Okay? Which passeth knowledge is more than knowing. It's more than just having an understanding or having a revelation. It's actual practice. Amen? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that fullness of God is the fullness, is the fullness of God the Father, the fullness of God the Son, the fullness of God the Holy Spirit. They are the ones that are great. You now have that fullness at your disposal that makes you great. Amen. That's why your greatness will now be unsearchable. Because the unsearchable one is now the one who is filling you fully. Amen. So we have access to that greatness. God is the only one. See, greatness is given, brethren. It's not taken. You can take prominence, but you can't take greatness. Greatness has to be given to you. It has to be given to me. It has to be given to anyone. To be great in God. The Bible says, who can say, I have cleansed myself from my sin? I have made myself pure. You, nobody can say that. It takes God to help you to be clean and to be pure. Amen? Therefore, it takes God to make you great. Now, after he has done that, he then now fills you with the fullness of God. It is that fullness of God that now enables us to live in the realm of the miraculous in a very natural way. So you live supernaturally in a natural way, the way Jesus did. So we have access to wisdom and power without measure. The Spirit without measure. John 3:34. We know the scriptures. We don't need to go there. But that's what he's saying. That you can now do physical miracles that Jesus did. You can now do intellectual miracles. You can now do things that the world finds outstanding. Incredible photographic memory. Incredible mathematical skills. Incredible language learning skills. Incredible mathematical skills. Then you can move on from there to political miracles. You can do economic miracles. You can do environmental miracles. Jesus has said these things of us, John 14:12, that the works he did shall we do and greater. So that means he wants us to be greater. Now we can't be greater because we are like him. Do you understand? But we can achieve the same level of prominence that he had on the earth and the same impact that cuts across generations. Is unending in its quality and inspires honor and reverence to God. And you see that this is something we grow in. Because you grow the way we use the earnest, I'm getting ahead of myself, but the way you use the earnest that God gave you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you use it properly, you begin to see yourself increasing in greatness. And then God counts you, because you have been faithful in the earnest, then he counts you worthy of the fullness. Because you will be faithful with the fullness. That's why it behoves us to therefore learn faithfulness with the earnest. Amen? That's what God is saying. All right? Look at 1 Corinthians 15:19. A very important scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:19. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. It's a very important scripture you must understand when it comes to your worldview and your perspective of your life. Your life must not be based, everything is not based on this side of heaven. Our lives must have, our picture must include this life and the one that is to come. So we make decisions not necessarily on the profit in this life, on the profit in that life. And ultimately, what we have deposited in that life will raise us up in this life. Does that make sense? It's a very important understanding. We have two lives. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, in the spirit realm. And we are right here standing on the earth at the same time. Now, we live our lives for the profit of that other life. That's like the pastor said on Sunday, he that will lose this life to save that one will ultimately save the one in this life. That's the way God designed it. But we need to lose our lives. But many times, it's easier or looks easier to lose that life. Because nobody is seeing it. It appears as if it's not real. But we need to start seeing the invisible and living in the reality of the fact that there is another life beyond this life. That's why when you begin to understand, then make you understand what the Bible says. People like Abel. And the Bible talks about Abel in Hebrews 11:4. If you look at Abel's life, what did he gain? Well, his brother killed him. But the Bible says that his works are still speaking till today. Unending in his quality. We are talking about him how many thousands of years afterward. As an example and a model. Amen. So his works are still living. So and then of course, imagine the resurrection that awaits him. Same thing with Uriah. Uriah died with a record of being first class. A first class soldier. Made it into David's mighty man. But imagine the resurrection. If you remove the resurrection from the whole equation, brethren, you will probably say that we will live a lie. You will live a lying vanity. You will not be happy. And that's why we must open the eyes of our understanding. Amen? And begin to see into the realm of the invisible. So that you understand that, there is something at stake here. And this one is the real one. And if you stay with it long enough, you will change the circumstances on this side. That's the assurance. That's the blessed assurance that we have of God. Amen. And that's what God is teaching us today. Amen. Now, why is this important? Because it's not a long message. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful. Why is this important? If you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 to 3, let's read it. Ephesians 2, 2 to 3. Let's read it together. I know we know it, but you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, so you can get new light. Amen. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Next verse. Among whom also we all. Everybody say we all. We all. So this is default setting. We all do this, but we come out of it, or we are supposed to come out of it. And that's what God is saying. So we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we see that there was a nature that appointed us to a particular course. The title is The Path to True Greatness. Now, there is a path in the world to human greatness. There is a path. That path, there is a path that exists. And that path is through the sin nature. It affects your thinking. It affects your desires. It affects your perspective, the picture, the way you see yourself. And that picture is being controlled by powerful spirits that live in a realm that is unseen to you and I. And God is saying that there is a particular course. So this course of, you know, let me go to school and read very well and work very hard and get married and have money and buy houses and have children and leave a good legacy, whatever that means, you know, and die and go to heaven. That's where it comes from. Nothing wrong with it. But it falls far short of what God paid for. Far short. It does a disservice to you and to God. It brings disappointment to God and to you. And it brings tears. We will not fall short in Jesus' name. So this is what God is saying. No, this idea that is only what is in this life that I can see, hear, taste, that people can appreciate, that is valuable. Now, the things in this world have their value, but it's not only that word. That word only is what God wants to remove. If only in this life. We must not only. Now, we have a hope in this life, and our hopes are going to be fulfilled. Amen? But it must not be in this life only. It must be in that life and this life at the same time. Amen? That's the will of God for us, okay? So we see, and we see, you know, in this particular course that Satan has, you know, God has rescued us from it because he's given us his nature. And because of that nature, we have access to light, revelation insight, to see from the word of God what God has prepared for us that love him. Amen? There's some things that we haven't even seen yet, that Bible says. But there's some things that we can see, you know, that are supposed to give us revelation so that we can build our lives on the rock. Amen? But the key is here is that we must be careful to ensure that our eyes, we must not look only at the things that are seen. We must look at the things that are not seen at the same time. Because otherwise, there's a tendency to live only for this life. That's the course of this world. And what happens is this. God no longer becomes your God. I mean, like the Jews, we say he's our God, but in all actions, he's not no longer our God. Our belly becomes our God. What we do, our gain becomes godliness. The more I gain out of it, the more it's okay. If it gives, we now become the God of our own world. You are the God of your own world, and you have your own solar system, and you're running things, and everything is cut off from God. Whereas we're supposed to be living in relation with, in conjunction with God. Amen. All right. Let's look at that. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 16. Philippians 3, verse 17. Yes. It says, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. It is extremely important to understand and recognize that you need examples to follow after. And the examples are of true spiritual fathers. It's priceless. Because without them, you're not going to make it to that end. As you will see, you're not going to make it by yourself. Elisha didn't make it by himself. He made it by following after Elijah. That's what Paul is saying here. And they wrote, these accounts are written at different times in history. So you see, it's the Holy Spirit that's talking. Next verse. For many walk. He's talking about Christians. For many walk. I can't hear you, brother. You're not walking like that now. Let's say that. For many walk. Of whom I have told you often. And now tell you, even weeping, that they are what? Enemies of the cross of Christ. And they're not enemies of Christ. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. They reject that denying this world in order to gain in that world. That's what they do. That's what it means by the enemies of the cross of Christ. Next verse, verse 19. Whose end is what? Destruction. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Whose God is their? Notice the capital G. They are living for themselves and they call it God. They manipulate things with their hand and they give testimony and say it is God. They do things that they desire without inquiring of God and they call it God. This is making God their, this is God making God their belly. Whose glory is in their shame? Who mind? Just means natural things. Doesn't mean sin. Just means they keep thinking about natural things all the time. So, brethren, we need to get out of this natural box and start living a life where we set our mind, set our affection on things that are above. No, whose mind is stayed on him? It's a mind thing, brethren. If it was not possible to be deceived, he would not have written it. He wrote it as a warning. A warning is not a curse. It's not going to be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen? It's not going to be your portion. But he's saying, be careful. Watch what's going on in your mind. So you can pray, you can come to church, but if you're not careful to watch over your mind, you will still be following the course of the world. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Alright? Alright? Next verse. Verse 20. For our conversation is where? See, that's what he's saying. Our way of life is conversation. It's in heaven. It's invisible. You must leave that on this side of heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, Lord Jesus. We're looking for the character of Christ. See? So that's why when you set your mind that I want to be more like Christ, and you make that what you think about, it takes you, you are in this world, but you're not of this world. You are in this world, but you are living by a different set of values. If it's going to cost you love, it's going to make you lie, it's going to cost you temperance, patience, meekness, you're not going to do it. And then you're walking in line with the heaven in sight. Your conversation, my conversation, is in heaven. That's what he's saying. So we live on earth, but we live by heavenly values. Amen? That's what he's saying. Verse 21. Yes, verse 20. Thank you. Who shall change? I can't hear you, brethren. You're not speaking as if it's going to happen to you. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? What is he saying? He's saying that, brethren, if you get this, you get everything. If you get this, you get everything. If you miss this, and get everything. You missed everything. We will not miss everything in Jesus' name. But he's saying that ultimately it is the redemption of the soul and the body that is the key. Because that now gives you access to everything you need in God. And then you can get everything else that men have have lied and cheated to get, you get it free of charge. And you have the strength and power to retain it. That's the will of God for us. The path to true greatness. So if you're a young person, it's important to set your sights on the character of Christ. Set your goal. That's your goal. This is ultimately the end. This is the ultimate end that God has for us. You know, because if you don't set this goal, then there's an error. You know, because you know these things he's talking about in verse 20 and verse 19. They pray and they get it. They pray and they get it. And you know, you wonder, how did he do that? Look at Ezekiel 14, verse 4. Ezekiel 14, verse 4. Thank you. Therefore, speak unto them, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart. Where are the idols? In his heart, in his mind. And putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity. The idol is your stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. And cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. You know what that means? You can pray and hear what you want to hear. Because, thank you, sir. Because the character of Christ is not your goal. That's why it's so important. The character of Christ is the pillar that keeps you rooted and grounded on the path to true greatness. Otherwise, you can start on the path and veer off. Bible says that there are many that swerved. We will not swerve in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. What's the second reason? Now, the second reason really now takes us to the path itself. God wants us to have a very strong sense of identity in Him. Your identity comes from God. My identity is in God. You know, your identity is not based on what people have said. It's not even based on your experience. It's based on what God has said and is saying to you currently. That's your identity. And you must know it from deep within who He has made us to be. And walk in that path. I'm trusting God to have mercy to help me. You know, you must. I know we sing it. I know who God says I am. What He says. I know we sing it. But it's beyond the song. You must allow God's word to percolate so deep into your heart that it is the reference point of who you are. Amen. It's the reference, and you don't allow experiences and suggestions, you know, to. You know, the Bible says of Jesus Christ, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, he said, Jesus came and saw the fig tree. It had leaves, but no fruit. And Jesus spoke to it. The Bible says, and he answered. The question is, who spoke to him? Nobody spoke to him. What he saw spoke to him. What we see every day is talking to you, is suggesting to you that, look, you cannot pass this boundary. That, look, you cannot go this far. That, look, this is where you should be content with this one that God has given you. And it's subtly, it's in the air. It's all around. But God wants you to answer back with the words of truth and reject what does not align. Jesus said, no man eats fruit from you, and you are a lie. A tree with luscious leaves without fruit, you are a lie. And no man, you because you know it can attract people. And when they get there, that they will see. And there are people like that today. And don't we have trees now with luscious leaves without fruit, attracting millions? But the Bible says no man eat fruit from thee anymore. Just cursed it. So that tree curses the tree. Those trees are cursed. Amen. So that strong sense, in knowing who you are, you know, you just know this is not the will of God. I reject this. I'm not going to accept it. It's internal. You may still be in that situation, but don't accept it. Reject it if it doesn't align with what God has said. It is your spiritual DNA. Don't accept it. And as long as you're there, God will change it. Because you didn't accept it. Amen? Very important. All right. Look at Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. I want to show by the help of the Holy Spirit the pattern quickly. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. We know the story, so just want to pick out the highlights. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of a priest of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. We see consecration to the will of God. They brought the food to Daniel, just like they brought the food to everybody. And for everybody, it was, let's eat, we're in Daniel. And for Daniel, it was a challenge to his faith. What does food have to do with faith? It's all about who you are on the inside. So you interpret things differently. It looks natural, but it's subtle. It's subtle. It's saying, live like us. Come down to our standard. This one that you have set for yourself is too high. You can't attain it. It's too necessary. Why do you disturb yourself? And no, I refuse to come to a lower standard. That's what he was saying. So we see consecration to the will of God. Now, verses 12 to 15, very quickly, we are not going to read it. Just give us verse 12. Just quickly. Just prove thy servants 10 days. No, verse 13. Quickly. No, let our countenance. So we know the story. He rejects it and says, look, I will stay with what God has said. Let me eat this with water. All right? And verse 15, we see that the man, God gave him favor. When you do not accept the standard of the world, you know what? You attract the favor of God. You attract the favor of God. I don't know what's going on in your office. I don't know what's going on in school. I don't know what other people are doing. I don't know what's going on in your home. But if you don't refuse to say, this is not where we are going. This is not where I don't accept. This is not where we are going. And then you hold on to it. You know what's going to happen? You attract the favor of God. All right? Next verse. All right, so go to verse 17. So we know the story. He refuses. And of course, after 10 days, you know, they are fairer and fatter in flesh. Verse 17. I want to bring out the points. All right. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. You see this reward. People could see this reward, but they didn't see that consecration there. So the consecration is in secret. The reward is open. Next verse. Verse 18. And at the end of the days that the king has said, you should bring them in. Okay, next verse. We know that. No, he didn't commune with them among. He found them. Okay, there was none like them. In all matters of the world, they found them 10 times better than all the other children. So we see the reward. All right? And we see the reward. And now that reward brings honor to their God. The honor is not just to them. The honor goes to God and them. That's how you know that is that person is walking the path of true greatness. Because the honor, we keep seeing God having more honor. God must have honor from our lives. He must eat honor from our lives. In anything where only you are honored and God is not honored, God is not glorified. I'm not noticing whether you see mommy in everything mommy does, God must be glorified. If we are doing the building of the church, God must be glorified. If we are doing wedding of children, God must be glorified. If we are doing bad day, God must be glorified. Everything honor is greatness, is the understanding of true greatness. Amen. Alright, so we see that. We see the same pattern again in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel is a very good example. Verse 10 to 13. Let's jump to 2:10. Yes. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, no lord, no ruler that asks such things as any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. You have asked too much. This is the limit. Of course, the king didn't accept it. So the king said that they should be killed. So let's jump from there. So we see again tribulation. Because many times, my Bible says, count it all joy. You know, he's saying that tribulation is an opportunity to showcase the God that is growing on the inside. That's what he's saying. No, but so this was a difficult situation. And they were going to kill everybody. Just go back and stay in verse 13. Thank you. Verse 13 of Daniel 2. Verse 13. Quickly. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. step in, the men that said, the people they said do not exist, existed. The people that they were saying that there is no man, they were alive. You are like that. When people say that nobody can do this, you can do it. And the secret is God on the inside. Amen. Look at verse 16. Quickly. Verse 16. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Next verse. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah and his companions. It just says that this is not a work you do alone. You have your own. You may be in the minority, but you have your own. Amen. Next verse. 18. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Next verse. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. It doesn't say, but you know it's all night. It did all night. That's why all night is important. Amen. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. All right. Let's skip that. Jump to verse 23. Verse 23. Thank you. And you know, Daniel thanked God and praised him. O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we have desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Right, let's jump to verse 28. 28. But this is now Daniel talking to the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in latter days. Thy dream and visions of thy head upon my dead are these. And he broke it down. Amen. Now you see God getting the honor here. Amen. You see God getting the honor here. Look at verse 46 to verse 48, just so you can see the Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel. It's not God who. God says they will come and bow in Isaiah. He worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. Allah Kuba. Must have put him in trouble. Don't let anybody worship you. Next verse. The king answered Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing that thou couldest reveal the secret. Verse 48. And the king made Daniel a what? I can't hear you. The king made Daniel what? A great man. And gave him what? Not ordinary gifts, great gifts. Amen. And made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Greatness. God's style. Greatness. God's way. It's available. This is an Old Testament. We have a New Testament established upon better promises. I don't want to take too much time, but the same in Daniel chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You see verse 12. It says, went to go and report them. Shebi, you said, at the sound of this, everybody should bow and all that. We know the story. Verse 12. Alright, jump from there to verse 17 to 18. We see their consecration. O king, we are not careful to answer in this matter. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Even if he does not deliver us, we will not bow. What does that mean? Even if we miss this one, we get the one in heaven. That's, amen. Let's give out a clap of it, amen. Because you see, these principles are embedded. You know, so he's telling us that, look, if I'm not so much doing this for the benefit of showing off that we can pass through the fire, and like some people go and jump into the zoo to try and do those kind of things, and once they say, my God, and then the lion will jump on them. No, it's silly. You know, the aim is in that life, the glory of that life. And it says that even if I go down with both guns blazing, I'm going to bet a better resurrection. It says that in Hebrews, it says they refuse to be released, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So this is the key, the path to true greatness. We must see both realms at the same time. And of course, verse 20 to 30, you know, we see verse 20 to 30 is a long discourse, but you can go and check it later on. You can see honor again coming to God, because there was a fourth man in the fire, and the king had to acknowledge and say that anybody, let's just read that part. Give me verse 30. 3. Yes, okay. Give me 24. Yes, oh, okay. This is the honor that came to them. The king promoted. You're going to get promotion. But they do it God's way. Amen. Not God. We're not saying promotion is bad. We're saying promotion at any cost is bad. Promotion with increase of godliness is the path that God has ordained for us. Amen. And that's what God wants for you and I. Amen. All right. So we see that. All right. Good. So this with each story, you learn something. It shows you that God is not a respecter of persons. Daniel did his. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had their separate. Daniel wasn't involved in that. And Daniel didn't try to help them. It was them and God alone. We're going to face our alone situations, brethren. All right? But these are the principles. If you stay with the principles, you'll come out on the other side. And you now become a reference point in Jesus' name. Amen. So they found the path of life. No, or what the Bible calls the path of the upright, the path of the righteous. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 19 and 21. And they stayed on that path until they entered into the land. I like that. I like that. Yes. None that go on to our return again. And that they take hold of the path of life. Next verse. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the path of the righteous. Next verse, verse 21. For the upright shall what? Dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. This is the will of God. You enter and you dwell. You will not visit. You will dwell in Jesus' name. Talks about consistency, okay? All right. And we also see from the life of Joseph, we won't spend too much time here because we've already done that. But the same principle we see in Joseph, the story of Joseph, Genesis chapter 39, verse 7 to 10, with the issue of Potiphar's wife, that it wasn't just a one-time affair. It was consistent. Go and read Genesis 9, verse 7 to 10. It was consistent. I'm not going to go there because of time. You know, but, you know, the Bible says she cast her eye. That's why you should be careful about the eye. Cast her eye on him, and she kept saying, lie with me. You know, it was, and she kept probing, and it wasn't just a one-time thing. Until the day that she actually, you know, grabbed the hold of him, you know, and he was untouchable. Amen. He ran and quickly left it and ran away. Anyway, that's another story for another day. But that's the principle there. Okay, we see that he did that, but that consecration to God brought affliction, and even though he suffered shame by going lower, because it's not every time you obey God. And you know, if you look at Daniel, you obey God, you come higher. You obey God, you come higher. But sometimes you obey God and you come lower. But you are going lower to come out higher. See, it's very important. So you, the key here is that you have the favor of God, the approval of God with you everywhere where you're going. And that's what happened to Joseph. Okay? So we see in verse 19 to 21, it brought shame to him initially, but he brought honor to God. And this is the key. We seek the honor that comes from God alone. We don't seek the honor from men. We seek the honor that comes from God alone. And but Joseph kept working on his character. He eschewed bitterness with his brothers, walking in love. You know, he forgave Potiphar's wife. She lied on him. You know, he walked on other people's dreams. You know, and gave himself, you know, to others, helping them along the way, and he kept his appointment with greatness. You keep your appointment with greatness in Jesus' name. See, what David tries to do is to discourage us so we go off the path. We veer off the path. But we won't veer off the path in Jesus' name. Stay on the path. Because it has a logical end. Follow it to its logical end. It will speak, it will not lie. Alright, so this brings out the principle here. The story of Joseph brings out the principle that we need to stay with this thing for years. Stay with it for years. Stay with it for decades. It will speak. It will not lie. It will surely come to pass. Amen. That's the will of God. You know, and it's very important. So look at this. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 7. Again, I go back to this point because I think it's very important that our lives make the greatest we will ever be is in relation with God, not independence of God. And so at every point in time, we must always ensure that our life is in God and is counting with God. Amen. Now, let's read it together. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth what? Blessing from God. This is a principle that works for unbelievers and born-again believers. If you live your life in such a way that when God invests in you, the rain there could mean the rain of God's mercy and grace gives you opportunities. No, it could mean the rain of God's word. Okay, I'm talking about the former rain and the latter rain, which means you respond to the word that God has given, and you are walking in obedience to the word. Whatever rain, if you both the physical and the spiritual, if it comes upon you and you bring forth fruit, herbs, results that is pleasing to him by whom it is dressed. Who is dressing your garden? God. Remember, a garden enclosed is my sister. Song of Solomon chapter 4. So we are gardens. And our garden is supposed to, give me that. Song of Solomon chapter 4 verse 16. Supposed to bring forth fruit for unto him by whom it is dressed. When God gives you the word, God protects you, God provides for you, he's investing in you and I. And he's expecting a return. Give me verse 12. Verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister. It's a love story between Jesus and his church. My spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Next verse. Thy plants, an orchard of pomegranates. With what? Pleasant fruits. Campfire. With spikenard. Next verse. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense and myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. This Papa Ralph taught us this years ago, and Pastor Mommy have taught us over and over again. No, these are the ingredients of the anointing. So the anointing is made from fruit that is squashed and broken together. Is broken together. That's how our lives are. And as you walk in love, God begins to form the fruit in you. And after a while, you lose your identity and you take on God's identity. And then your life is worth it. So if you bring forth fruit that is pleasing for him by whom it is dressed, he says you will receive blessing of God. This is how some people get to the top of their career. And they don't know God from Adam. And there are Christians who find it difficult to meander to the top because they are not obeying the same principle. You know what? When much is given, much is required. So you are supposed to fulfill it both spiritually and physically as a Christian. Whereas the unbeliever just has to do it physically. But if you do it both ways, you will get double more than him. Because you are doing more than he is doing. See, that's why we need to be understanding that there's responsibility on us. Okay? But there's a good side to it, because with the responsibility comes the glory. You know, it's just that you have to take both together. Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9. And the key here is to embrace your path, that path of true greatness as a Christian. Embrace it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 6. So wisdom, no, give me verse 5. I think, let's go back, verse 5. You know, what the pastor said love was, verse 4. Love is discerning by wisdom from the word of God, desiring by compassion from the fruit of the Spirit, and doing by the power of the Holy Spirit what God will do in every situation. So wisdom is the principal thing. Give that to me. It's there. Wisdom is the principal thing. And it's so important. With all our getting, we must get understanding. Okay? Alright, so let's move on. Let's move on. Yes. Wow. Okay, thank you. Alright. So move on. Next verse. Yes. exalt wisdom, and she shall promote you. She will bring you to honor when thou dost embrace her. We need to embrace our path instead of looking at the grass on the other side. Oh, I wish I didn't have to go to church. No, this thing is real. It's real, you know, because as a Christian, you do some things and the people in the world appear to have an advantage because they don't have to go to church. They go and play golf on Sunday, you go to church. Or they go for something, you know, or they have opportunity to even stay back and work. You know, they can go to the office or take their work home and you have to go to church. But there is something that you get. Amen? And that's what he's trying to say here. Verse 9. She shall give to thy head. Let's read together. She shall give to thy head an ornament of, cause an ornament of grace. The other one tells a blessing. You receive blessing from God. His favor. A crown of glory. That favor will ultimately give you a crown of glory. That means it will take you into the fullness of Christ. And you are crowned with the Spirit without measure. That's what he's talking about. So let's follow our path. It is a more prosperous path. There is more that awaits us. Now, to be looking at the unbelievers and struggling with they're having innovations, thank God. I mean, every day we keep reading about new things that they're doing. But eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, what God will do in and through you and I if we keep falling back. We are the ones that have to prove it. When we come on the scene, we redefine greatness. Because they are great now, but when we come on the scene, they will not be great because a greater than them has come. Amen. Solomon looked great, but when Jesus came, he said, a greater than Solomon is here. The same way, when we arrive with the glory of God, we will then, with the saying, come to pass, a greater than the sons of men has arrived. That's the will of God. That's where God is taking us to. Amen. Okay. By the grace. And if you look at the example of Elisha, you also see this principle in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. I'm not going to turn there because of time. It says, you know, that he kept following from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, from Jericho to Jordan. Notice that he was not satisfied with what he knew. He was not satisfied with what he had. And I want to encourage you, brethren, let us not be satisfied with what we have. Right where you are, aspire and desire for more. There's nothing wrong with the desire. And then process that desire the way God wants you to, this way, by following the path of love, giving time to, you know, to prayer, giving time to the word, giving time, you know, to walk in the spirit, obeying God, you know, studying the word, you know, and letting those things, it will speak as you invest in it. As you invest in it and you continue to work and do your work, God will bring it out and crown you on top. That's what the scripture says. No. But you know, it's something you have to work on and stay with. And then the other part of this is you can see from Elisha, is that there were people at every stop. At Gilgal, there were people that were saying, how do you know? So there's certain knowledge at Gilgal. A certain knowledge at Bethel. Certain knowledge at Jericho. A certain knowledge at God at Jordan. What does it mean? It means accept the whole counsel of God. Don't pick and choose the one you want. Accept all the counsel and go all the way. When you go all the way, you come back with the glory. And the same people that were saying, do you know? You prove, you manifest to them the glory of the God of Elijah. That the God of Elijah is present. That the God, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 13, has not yet been fulfilled. That Psalm 144, you know, from verse 10 to the end, has not yet been fulfilled. We fulfill all scripture. That's the will of God for us. We fulfill it with the glory, because there's some things we cannot fulfill without the glory. We need the glory to fulfill it. And we're going to fulfill it in Jesus' name. Amen. But we do it by following after fathers. That's the example we get from Elisha. All right. The Bible says, you know, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith
follow.
Hebrews 13 verse 7. The Bible says in verse 17, it says, obey and submit to them that have the rule over you. No, because they watch for your soul as them that must give account. Alright? And this also, it works with secular enterprise. Because we're talking about this both spiritually and physically at the same time. You know, the Bible says we shall be head and not tail. Above only. Can you believe that? Above only. Only. All the time. Never at any time beneath again. You will come to pass in Jesus' name. Yes. But try and wrap your mind around that. That's your portion. And then it spurs you on to really want to bring it to pass. So, because this is both spiritually and at the same time both in secular endeavor. Look at Pastor and Mommy, by the grace and the mercy of God. I mean, spiritually, by the grace and mercy of God has really helped them. But they're not satisfied. They keep looking for more. And then even secular, you know, they pick up and did their PhD in their 50s. With all the responsibility, I know you're busy, but think about it. With all the responsibility they have, you know, of church, ministry, their family, the work that they chose to do, the research, and of course, the fact that they're not young. And there are things that are competing at every point in time. There's family, there's extended family, there is care. You will call, I will call. You expect them to come to your child's wedding. You expect them to come to your mommy's funeral. And they're there. And yet, in all of this, they did their PhD. Amen. No, praise God. We give God glory. Give them a super hand. That's not good enough. It takes sacrifice. Go to bed early. Wake up early. Spend hours praying, then a few hours spend on the research, then go back to praying, then prepare for the service, then pray and pray and pray so that you and I, nothing falls. It's a God of addition. So as you hold this responsibility and at the same time you are adding more, it means that when the Bible says that we shall be at least 10 times better, it means that we're going to be working very, very hard, brethren. Very, very hard. You're going to be denying yourself sleep for spiritual things to be done and sleep for secular things to be done. And you're going to appear during working day as if there's no big deal. And people wondering, how did you? It's only supernatural. It's supernatural. So the blessings are on the deep end, but it takes consecration to get there. And we're going to get it in Jesus' name. So in summary, how do we do it? As we round up. One, honesty. We've been taught, very well taught. Honesty attracts the mercy of God. So we speak the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, 4:1. Give it to me, please. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry of greatness, it's a ministry of greatness to show the greatness of God to your generation so that their mouth will be stopped. That they will, in fact, like Queen of Sheba, no more power left in them. Because as they are talking about something you did last week, you are doing a new one this week. And they are talking about the one on Saturday, you are doing a new one on Wednesday. Because your greatness is increasing in quality. It's unsearchable. That's what he's talking about. As we have received that ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. So the next verse. That means mercy enables us not to face. So brethren, don't faint. Just receive mercy. Say, I receive mercy to fulfill my ministry of greatness. That's what you need. Mercy. Be honest. It's not done by human strength. It can't be done. It has to be done by asking God to help. Amen? Alright? And then we renounce hidden things of dishonesty. And the more we renounce, the more great mercy we attract, the more mercy we speak the truth to ourselves, and then we act on the truth that God has given us. That's humility as the next one. So humility is very key. Submit to the truth even when it's inconvenient. This is extremely important. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. God gives grace to the humble. You must love truth. And truth can be bitter. It can be very bitter. But you know, what it does is that it sets you free from what was binding you and you did not know. Truth sets free. And if you learn to surround yourself with people that tell you the truth, it's a big privilege. It's a big privilege. Many times we instinctively run away from people that tell us the truth. It's instinctive. It's the nature of the devil. But the Bible says in John chapter 3 verse 19, you know, because that's the way we all are. Remember, this is default setting. This is the way we all were in the course of this world. We now change it. So you change your train track from the course of this world and jump on the track that is the path to greatness. And on that path, the Bible says, he that doeth truth. The key is to do the truth. John 3:19. Do the truth that is revealed to you. Do it. You show. But once you do the truth, you show that your works are wrought in God, the Bible says. So we do the truth. To cultivate a taste for the truth from those in authority over you. That's very important. And from your colleagues. Don't stay with your colleagues that tell you, man, Dalon, she treated you unfairly. Stay with the truth. Ones that tell you, you could have done it better. Look at that. Even when people say, like pastors, when people tell you things that is 90% false, but 10% truth, hold on to that 10% truth and say thank you. As if it was all 100% truth. Bible says that no, you know, it will be excellent oil. It will not break my head. You know, if you let the righteous smite me, how does the righteous smite you? With truth. Boom. It's like, I thought it's too hard. Is it true? That's what's important. Is it true? And then the second thing about this, because when it's true, Bible says in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. John chapter 8, give that to me. 31 and 32. God wants us to walk in the truth. Not just truth of the Bible, all truth. So at the office, in the chemistry lab, somebody's teaching you how to do it better. That's truth. Take it and use it. You know? And says, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Truth makes free. Sets you free from ignorance, at the very least. And then it breaks yokes. Because no, the power of God can break yoke and bring deliverance. But it's the truth that you walk in that will make you free from that thing forever. So we need to embrace truth. And practice it. You know, put it in our mouth, confession. Put it in our heart, meditation. Like Pastor has taught us so beautifully. You know, we say it. You know, I receive mercy. You know, to receive cleansing from my sins and receive the life of God. In Jesus' name, I have life. I walk in the love of God. You say it. For whatever it is that you're involved in at that time. You know, I have wisdom to solve this situation in Jesus' name. You know, and you speak the word of love, you speak the word of truth, and that truth will work in you. The second thing about the truth is that, you know, we need to stay humble. It's one thing to be humble. We need to stay humble by walking in the truth. Let the truth dwell in you and I richly. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And that's what God told the kings. With this level of success, you're going to need to stay humble. I'm going to need to stay humble. And it's by deliberately putting truth in you. So that in your thoughts, you know, the truth has insulated you from pride. Insulated you from exclusivity. Insulated you from a sense of entitlement. From ingratitude. So you are humble. And they can't understand it. How can you have so much and yet be so humble? It's like a paradox. Because they haven't seen it. You know, when you see people that are very rich, there's a way they behave. It's because he's rich, you know. But we're going to change that paradigm. by the mercy and the grace of God. And it starts, doesn't start in the future, it starts now with what God has given you. So let the truth dwell in us richly. Alright? Number three, recognize, reverence, and follow spiritual fathers. You need to recognize, because you're not getting all this without them. You're not getting all this without them. You need to recognize spiritual by their fruit, the fruit of good treasure that comes from humility, you know, and then of course the fruit of the Spirit, you know, and then of course the signs and wonders, you know, the impact that fruit, that the word that they preached has had in your life. That undeniable impact. That's how you know spiritual fathers. And you stay and follow their example. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 13 says, know them that labor among you. The first thing you see is the example. Labor among you and are over you. Then they admonish you. Don't go to a house where they don't admonish you. Amen. The amen was very resounding. Don't go to a house where they don't admonish you. Amen. Men, we are cultivating new taste buds. And we love the truth. Amen. Because you know, it's the truth that sets you free. In the end, when the vision speaks, it will be for your glory. And when the righteous smite you, it will be excellent oil on whose head? It's on my head. It's on my head. It won't be on your head. So, there's profit. They want us to be partakers of His holiness. That's why the correction is coming. It's not coming because they want to put you down. It's coming because they want to raise you up. And when you understand this, you know, it takes a while, but when you understand, genuinely love them from your heart. Because you see the impact in your life. Amen. And finally, be diligent. Be diligent. Spiritually be diligent. Physically be diligent. I read after I saw a video that stirred me up. Ah, you know, there's a young lady that was talking about while she was in a certain job, she decided to cultivate I want to learn about XYZ. And while she had a very good job in a world-renowned organization, she still went out of her way to learn about certain aspects, you know, that she didn't know about. And she just learned. She kept going to the library. Even the people in the library knew her because she's the last person to leave. She learned about this, learned about that. Self-taught. Without spirit, without measure. Self-taught. Self-made. Not, I don't know whether she's born again or not. It's just the principle, brethren. It's diligence. It's practice. And kept at it. And kept at it until she knew her onions. And then one day, somebody asked and said, she met somebody who was the head of that particular aspect in that company, you know, and the person said, I'm looking for someone. He that diligently seeketh good procures favor. Who made God was the one that dropped that idea in the heart. How many ideas has God dropped in your heart to deny yourself a bit of this, a bit of that, to get more of this, more of that, more knowledge, more insight, more wisdom? And we say, I'll do it later. You know, Lord George. It's diligence, brethren, spiritually and secularly. I'm not saying you should do everything at once. Start little. That's the thing about Pastor Pitch is about diligence. It's the seeking. That's the key in that scripture. Diligently seeking is what procures the favor. It's not like you've done everything perfectly. It's the practice. I practice. I go and do this. I may fall once or twice, but I get up again and I do this and I try that and I work on it and I work on it. And one day, like that, the girl said in that video, preparation meets opportunity. And you are ready. Preparation needs to meet opportunity. There is stuff that God wants to do, and He's just waiting on us. And we are expecting God to, we are waiting for the incredible knowledge. So when the incredible knowledge comes, I will read with incredible knowledge. You know, so what I should have read in 3 weeks, no, in 10, one minute. Bah! Yeah, thank you. God does not cheat. I tried this when I was in medical school. Does God cheat? I tried it. I wasn't sure. I tried it. So I went to the exam and I said that this exam, it was MCQ. You know MCQ medical school. Lord have mercy. MCQ medical school, there's negative marking. So to prevent you from guessing. So when I get to a question, I'll ask myself, Holy Spirit, what's the answer to this one? Yes, yeah, so I wanted to find out whether God cheats or God does not cheat. So I got there and when I said yes, so I took B. No, I didn't. Then I got to some questions where I actually knew the correct answer. And that thing now said, I should choose the wrong answer. I said, no. You are wrong. But then, you know what, you know my mark in that exam? I failed. They had in heaven. But you know one thing? It settled the confidence of me that God does not work that way. You know what? God is not going to do. If you are waiting for school time before you be serious, you will take up your line on the queue. You will go to the back of the queue. Start now. With diligence. Let us pray. Amen. We give God the glory. Let's talk to God in our hearts. Obey the natural laws. Obey the spiritual laws. And God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Both to men who know Him in Christ and to those who don't know Him. But just obey the principle. True greatness. Greatness in the kingdom and greatness among men. Emphasis on the kingdom. Your resurrection. The order and the glory of resurrection. Manifesting life in your mortal flesh. Changing your vile body to be like unto His glorious body. In this life is available. Pursue it. Is worth denying sleep. It's worth fasting for. If God says you should fast. Let's repent. Let's talk to God. In Jesus' name. Day, everything, my Lord. God of greatness, to lead us in the path of greatness, the hallowed paths, the ancient paths that the fathers have trod. Abraham walked this path. Daniel walked this path. David walked this path. Ruth walked this path. Paul walked this path. It's a privilege to walk this path. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, showing me that there is a path that you have set aside for the upright, for the righteous, for the just, that leads them into greatness, the fulfillment of all that is written of them, concerning them in the book. So, Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy. Help me to walk in greater honesty, greater humility, Lord, to follow after the example of the fathers you have set over me with diligence, applying diligence in spiritual things as I keep spiritual law, praying every morning at Good Morning Jesus with all of my heart, praying for spiritual victory, walking in the Spirit once every 6 hours, keeping a diligent walk with my thoughts all day long, so I will perfect the love of God, and I will be diligent in all secular endeavor that I am involved in, seeking more, practicing more, denying myself more, so that I will prepare myself for the suddenly of your glory that is coming upon your church, that we will be able to demonstrate the greatness, the excellence, and the majesty of our God unto our generation. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be diligent, to consecrate myself in times of tribulation, so that I will bring honor and glory unto you, my God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Rasa kande kelaba, raba ba ba ba, kusateka, jeke komakika kango ba, robo kotomo sepi keko, robo kotomo sep, jeke keko bakara, raba ba 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 kotomo kozena, raba ba 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 kakako, lebedi kogo lebedi ya, raba ba 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 kako meka tomasa, jeke keko bale, mababas, rolenes, malenes, kaka, beke lebedi koko kuwa ba 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 di kaka, mapaka sakat, jeka. Yo, Renanas, Ranenes, Bariana, Ribo, Bakakoshaka, Jekeleve Benikoko de Bibeso, Bakrikinema. In Jesus' name.